Wherever you are, we are your centerpiece for Black thoughts in America. It's News One Now with your host, Roland Martin.
We have heard over the years any number of lawsuits the King Estate has filed against various people asserting copyright and trademark, protecting the likeness and the image of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But also, the King children, there are three surviving children, MLK III, Bernice King, Dexter King, they themselves have sued each other. I mean, let's not forget when some personal letters between Dr. King and Coretta Scott King were found after her death under the bed. Bernice wanted to keep those private, but Dexter wanted them to be used in a book. So what happened? He sued Bernice. Recently, Dexter and MLK III sued Bernice in the King Center, saying they were going to pull the licensing deal from the King Center. And they said, we won't do it if Bernice is put on leave and you got to get rid of Andrew Young and Alveda King, Dr. King's niece, from the board of directors. Talk about just drama. But this latest lawsuit, I think, is really going to get lots of folks' attention. To have Harry Belafonte, 86 years old, a man who has been a tremendous human rights activist, for him to say, now hold up, King children, how are you going to assert ownership of some stuff your daddy gave me when y'all barely were in this world? My guess is Clarence Jones. If you don't know Clarence's story, Clarence was an attorney in Los Angeles. He was focused on making money in corporate America. Dr. King came to L.A., gave a speech, and he talked about the talented brothers and sisters out there who needed to use their skills for the movement. Clarence wrote in his book, I thought Dr. King, I got the feeling he was talking directly to me. And after they met after that, guess what? Clarence was involved in the movement. And he joins me this morning from Stanford, from California. I truly appreciate him being with us. Clarence, before we went to break, you talked about the critical importance, the role that Harry Belafonte played in the movement.
Yeah, let me just repeat in case, just one sentence, is that Harry Belafonte was the financial backbone of the King family when the children were growing up. I mean, Dr. King loved Harry Belafonte. Harry Belafonte loved Dr. King. And, I read all these newspaper accounts that Dr. King has some money in some Swiss bank account. Ridiculous. This man had very little money. He was always torn in the fact that he didn't have enough money. And those of us who were close to him, when he shared with us his dire financial circumstances, the person who principally came to took care of that was Harry Belafonte, Stanley Levison, also me to a lesser extent. But let me just say, put something in perspective. Yes, I understand the King children suffered a tremendous loss in the killing of their father. I also have said, and I'll repeat again, this country owes a great debt to Martin Luther King Jr. If the Treasury wrote a check for $1 billion to the King children, I'll still say that's not enough. Now, having said that, however, is that I could see a situation, and this is what I don't understand, so this is why I have to say, on a best-case basis, the children just may not know. Otherwise, they are very mean and selfish. And what do I mean by that? You would have thought that after their father died and after their mother died, you would have thought that they would have, that somebody would have called up Harry Belafonte or called up Stanley Levison or called up other people. God forbid they would call me, but particularly Harry Belafonte, and say, you know, Harry, we know you were close to our dad. You know, here are some things. Come down to Atlanta. Come down and look at some of the things that we have, and maybe you would like to have one of them. That's what I think would have been reasonable. You understand what I'm saying?
But here's what's crazy, Clarence. Here's what's crazy.
What's that?
The kids have known about this. I have been told point blank. This is, first of all, this dispute, as you know, has been going on for 5 years.
I know.
Let's
I
also
know.
Remember, he was disinvited to speak at the funeral of their mother. And you're going to love this one, Clarence.
You and I and Jesse Jackson, we were standing in the lobby of a hotel waiting to get on the bus.
But here's what's amazing.
Remember,
a month after the funeral,
to get on the bus in the funeral, I was talking to Harry on the cell phone. But let me just stay focused on this. See, you see, I think it is such. And sometimes I have to say, now hold on, now. You know, I have children. You know, but they're adults. And sometimes I think we have to start standing back and say, you know, they're children, but they are now adults.
Yes.
And adults have to bear a certain amount of responsibility for their conduct. I think it is such an insult. It is so, it personally, I mean, I don't know how Harry Belafonte is a very proud person. He must be so personally hurt by this.
Right.
I mean, for him, at the age of 86, after having tried to work this out for 5 years, and then said, look, this is enough. And you know, and it's true. The I Have a Dream speech, by the way, wasn't trademarked, it was copyrighted. Nobody asked me to copyright this speech. But here's the whole plan,
and I want people to understand this here. You wrote a book. You wrote a book.
Right.
And
yes.
You wanted to use...
I wanted to use the full text speech in my book, right.
And they tried, and the so, state tried to charge
what
you.
What I did, the lawyers got in touch with me and my co-author, and they said, they said the publisher can do this, but they have to pay a license fee. I think the license fee was like $20,000 to $25,000. So I'm thinking to myself, hold on, I'm the person that copyrighted the speech.
In fact, you sent me a copy.
I'm the person to whom the copyright certificate was sent to by the Register of Copyright. They sent it to me, okay? And I then sent it to Dr. King, the secretary, saying, this is, I signed an agreement, an assignment, to say that this is the copyright certificate which I got for the speech, and be sure that Martin understands it. So I don't understand how I am the person, okay? Nobody at the march asked me to do it. Nobody in the King family asked to do it. Nobody at the March on Washington. I just did it as a kind of protective measure because I was tired of having Dr. King being exploited and used. And I figured this time I had no idea whether the speech would amount to anything or not. But I just said, this time I'm going to cut the people off at the pass who may want to take advantage of it. So I copyrighted the speech. So the bottom line is, so I write a book, right? Called Behind the Dream, the Making of the Speech that Transformed the Nation. And as I talk about the background to the making of the speech, I wanted the reader to be able to read the text of the speech in full. Well, yeah, I could do that, but the publisher would have to pay the King Estate $20,000 to $25,000. And I'm saying to myself, hold on. There wouldn't be any speech. There wouldn't be any copy. There wouldn't be a speech that had any value but for what
But here's the other piece. The other little Clarence. Not only did you copyright it, and you can be modest and humble about it, but you also sat with Dr. King as he was putting it together and helped the man.
The first step is to join the movement.
Begin to mobilize and move people to action now.
Step number two, roll out.
The way I roll is, when you've shown one time you can do it, no excuses after that.
We're your centerpiece for Black Thoughts in America. It's News One Now with Roland Martin.